You know how sometimes you're driving along the lakefront or maybe one of the big parks in the Chicagoland area and you see a bunch of people walking and it always looks so pleasant and positive. And one of the very best, I'm just selling you on the walking and then I'll tell you the why in a second, is at Montrose Harbor. It's going to be next Saturday, September 14th. It's about a 3-mile walk up and down with all sorts of support and tents and food and positivity. And it's just the nicest walk. And this is the walk to prevent suicide. And joining us now to talk a little bit about it is Phil Martinez, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention of Illinois. He's a board member and president of the AFSP. Phil, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Yeah, we've talked before, and I know a little bit about your story. You have a personal connection to this walk. It's also a professional endeavor for you, isn't it? You are a licensed clinical psychologist and work with young people to prevent suicide. Is that right?
I do. I'm actually, technically, I'm an LCPC, a licensed clinical professional counselor. But yes, I do work with young people, and I do have a very personal connection to the cause.
Just talk briefly about that, Phil.
I'd be honored to. Back in 2004, I got the call that every one of us dreads, and it was that my cousin Mark had taken his own life. And it just brought to the forefront, I was already a practicing clinician for a couple of years, just brought to the forefront how unprepared I was for that news on a personal level, let alone a professional level, and how ill-equipped I felt to support my family in the way that I felt they needed, my aunt, my uncle, and my cousins. And in my search for help and for healing, I found the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the Overnight Out of the Darkness Walk, which was back in 2005 at Soldier Field. And I've been involved with them ever since.
Were there signs in Mark's case, looking back, did the family say, oh, we should have seen this or that?
There were a lot of signs, but there was also a lot of hope, and oddly enough, someone who makes that decision looks remarkably well just prior to taking on that act. And, you know, I always say, how could I miss it? Or when somebody tells me, you know, this is my loved one, this is my spouse, this is my child, this is my parent, how could I have missed it? How did I not see it? And I always give them the same answer. It's because they did not want you to see it.
Are you also saying that when that person has maybe made the decision, there's a certain peace? They seem a little more normal.
I wouldn't go quite so much to say normal, because we'll see some behavior such as saying goodbye or giving away prized possessions or settling affairs, so to speak, that when those are all warning signs that somebody may have made a decision to take their life.
What is the ballpark answer to why do people do that?
Oh my gosh, John, we don't have enough time. There are so many reasons. But one thing that we do know is it's never one singular event that leads someone to make this decision. It is always a cluster of events in several areas of life, whether it be hereditary, whether it be environmental, whether it be circumstantial. You know, people will look and say, oh, well, they lost their job or their wife left them or, you know, some tragic event. Yes, that may be something that contributed, but typically, when we look at it, there's a long history of signs that led up to we see how this happened.
What are some of those signs?
Some of those signs are some of the behavior I was alluding to earlier, not just the behavior right prior to when we're giving away things or saying goodbye, but like changes in mood, drastic changes in how you relate to people. Isolation is typically something we see. People acting very much out of the norm that raise red flags in our heads, whether it's through behavioral actions, withdrawal, people who might be otherwise social all of a sudden will not show up to anything. And you just see distinct changes in even maybe referencing themselves as being a burden or not wanting to, you know, be a responsibility to others. So there are several what we see subtle things. So there are things in depression that very much lead to this, but we need to let everybody know not everybody who suffers from mental health issues or depression always leads to suicide. But in some of the extreme examples, when we see these behaviors continuous and pervasive, or even expressions of not wanting to live, you know, thinking that there is no purpose in life, those are all warning signs that we need to ask about directly.
If I see some of those, how do I address those with that individual?
The best thing to do is, as I just said, is ask them directly. What I caution people is don't ask someone that you're worried about if they're thinking of hurting themselves. Because when somebody is thinking of taking their lives, they're thinking of ending the pain. They're thinking, no, I'm thinking of releasing myself. So I say be as direct as you are comfortable with. In other words, are you thinking of taking your life? Are you thinking of killing yourself? And more often than not, we're going to get an honest answer. And if we can also delay the time between somebody's thought and action, we know that is one of the best resources that we have to help save someone's life. So keeping them from the lethal means is a very important piece of that when we're concerned with somebody that may be imminently at risk of harm, taking their life.
I want you to just repeat what you think would be the appropriate question for somebody who I worry about in this case. I should ask
them.
Go ahead.
Very directly, are you thinking about killing yourself? Yeah. Are you thinking about taking your life?
You work with young people. Is the problem more acute there right now than maybe it has been in the past?
You know, it's a mixed bag there, because one of the things we saw just prior to COVID is a decline in suicides as ages 10 to 24. But sadly, one of the groups within that age range, we have seen a steady increase, and that is youth in the LGBTQ plus community, and also children from the BIPOC population as well. So while we have seen some success, we've also seen some of those pressures continue. And like I said, those two communities in particular, we've seen an increase in.
We know that it plagues members of the military and law enforcement, emergency rescue people, those communities.
Very significantly.
Suffer a lot from that. We have this walk coming up, the Out of the Darkness into the Light walk in Chicago. It's going to take place not this Saturday, but next Saturday. And you can register up until Friday the 13th. Online registration will close at noon. And I'm just reading here from your form. It says there's no fee to register.
There is no fee. And if you missed the online registration, we will have on-site registration beginning at 9 a.m. that morning.
So it's a fundraiser. How do I raise money when I'm walking for you?
It is a fundraiser. There are various ways. More often today, we see people doing a lot of online fundraising. You know, I mean, we're old school. We'll take cash, checks, credit cards. But we see, you know, if you go to our website, if you go into afsp.chicagolandwalk.org, that'll connect you straight to the page. It'll give you all the information about fundraising. And the one thing that I want to impress upon people, John, we're creating a community of hope and support. So while fundraising is something that we need to do to make that possible, people do not have to fundraise to participate. Like you said, there is no registration fee. We want people to come there to feel like they can be in a community where they get the hope and support that they may not be getting elsewhere. And like I said, fundraising is just a part of it, and it's completely optional. But we, of course, appreciate every effort that everyone goes into, and all of our sponsors and folks like you, John, in the station that support our cause on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, we know how important it is. And the more we talk to you, the more we are reminded of that. afsp.chicagowalk.org, afsp.chicagowalk.org. And it's going to be a beautiful day. That's Saturday. You can register up until Friday noon online, the 13th. But if nothing else, show up.
It is a stunning setting.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful place. The lakefront is one of my favorite. I grew up in Chicago. I'm a Southside kid at heart. And I love to share the beauty and just the hope. You know, you look at the water, and I think it was in Shawshank Redemption, says the water is eternal and it has no memories, but it also has a great healing quality.
That's Phil Martinez, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, afsp.org. Okay, Phil, keep doing what you're doing. Thanks for your time.
Thanks again for your support, John. Bye-bye.